congratulations.
You're listening to the Congratulations Pine Tree podcast. Is that how we say it?
I love it. No, but it's good.
What do I usually say?
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree with
the
Bay's number one arts and culture podcast. With me, Kate Rhodes,
and Mason Wazwaz. Got it.
Nailed it.
We were off for a couple weeks. I was in Europe.
Kate was in Europe, and we got a text or she's posts something about how you just couldn't wait to get fucking back here.
Yep.
Which was interesting to me because I never feel that
Europe
way.
Europe is trash.
JK.
I'm like, I just don't know. I'm like, am I just completely blind when I'm there? I'm just like, I love it here. Everywhere I go,
but
I love it.
I was very happy to see my good friend Rob.
Rob.
That was my main reason for going.
Good day, Rob. Good day. That's not even fucking
<He's English>.
British. Sorry, Rob. What the hell do you guys say there? It's fun.
Pip pip cheerio.
Pip pip cheerio. It's
no, they
bloody
don't say
brilliant.
Anything like that. Oh my god. But anyhow, okay, I'll just say a couple things about some contemporary art that I saw. I went to the Venice Biennale, and the best pavilion was the Irish Pavilion, which was headed up by Jesse Jones.
Okay.
And the work was a two-channel video where it's a woman, an elderly woman's mouth, but sideways.
Oh, nice.
And her top lip and bottom lip, you kind of weren't always sure what was the top and bottom.
Oh.
And she was speaking this really intense kind of poetic diatribe about, like, how all humanity comes from, like, the giant mother and shit. And it was this super feminist thing. And her mouth, because it was sideways, looked like a vagina.
Yes.
And it was really
a
intense.
A chasm of sorts.
Yes. And it was, like, super hardcore. And, you know, she's Irish. And so that's, like, whoa.
And there was a very thick accent? Or
not
necessarily.
But just, you know, noticeable.
Clouded with sand. And minerals and dust. Every cell in my body was eroded, replaced, particle by particle.
And then there were these big sculptures that looked like bones, and they were like talking about the pelvic floor, and then these big giant printed curtains with arms on them. So it was like you were inside.
You were in
a person.
In the womb.
It was fucked up, man. I loved it. That was probably my
great.
That was my favorite one.
Sorry, who was that artist?
Jesse Jones.
Is that a man or woman? Do you know?
A lady. And she looks a lot like Carissa Potter. I went to the Tate. They had that Hedo Sterile video that they just had at the Minnesota Street Project.
Oh, that same
and
one?
And they had Janet Cardiff with the million speaker piece
that
was at fucking
saw.
Fort Mason.
We
and
got
I'm
it
like,
first, bitches.
Fuck you, Europe. America's number one. We got to get Trump out of office. And that's all there is to it. Because it is a shame and a blemish and a crisis.
What happened? What was going on? Were you interacting with people who were like, you're American?
Well, my friend Rob that I was out there to see was scheduled to come for a conference here and couldn't come when the travel ban went down.
Because
people were getting turned away when they get here. So, you know.
Yeah, it's a huge waste of money, obviously.
Exactly. We got to get on point, get out there to Stanislaus County, got to flip the 10th district. That's pretty much what I learned from Europe. It's like, I wish America wasn't a hot mess.
It's a hot mess right now.
Because in a lot of ways, it's great. That's what I learned from Europe.
Amazing.
But when you go again, you can like do a segment and we can play the music, the fucking Amelie accordion. And Maysoon, we both went to the Headlands.
Yeah, that's right. I saw you there.
How about it?
It was nice to go to the Headlands. They basically were opening everyone on the show. Everyone who's listening probably knows they were, I guess, christening or launching their new project
the
called
Commons.
The Commons, which is basically an outdoor seating area where people can just come together and gather and talk and hang out, or maybe there's going to be outdoor performances. There's a few sculptures. One of them, I don't remember what that's called, like that the floor, that the ground, that it's like not ceramic but some form where you get color in the concrete and it's like a mosaic.
Yeah, they did something, you know, to the ground right outside the doors.
There's actually
the main
a name
building.
For that. It's sort of a mosaic type mural, but it's not. It's like in the actual.
I think it was supposed to be inspired by that.
Is it terrazzo or something?
I heard that it was supposed to be like inspired by that Japanese ceramic repair technique where they fix things with gold.
With gold.
I wish I didn't know that before I saw it, because I was like expecting, like,
to me, it just, ooh, it was just sort of felt just nice to have some. The ground.
Is it going to get real slippery though when it gets wet out there?
I don't know. I'm sure they paid attention to
wear
those.
Sensible shoes.
Nathan Lynch has a new sculpture out there. It's called, I think, Double Fountain,
where you can have a drink of water from a water fountain and then somebody else has it too, and you kind of kiss each other and make out a little
bit.
You
don't really. There's at least 6 inches between your faucet and the next person's faucet, but the point is that you're looking,
like, look square in the eye.
You're looking right at another person, and hopefully that person's a stranger, and that's a nice connection.
Yeah.
I love that piece, personally.
It's funny looking. It looks like the Michelin Man.
All of his work was super blobby.
Yeah.
It's like blobby. I kind of love it. It's so unexpected.
And then you have the text.
Oh, the text. See, I didn't even notice that.
Okay, so the poet they have up there right now is Wendy Rose, and I think she's like a descendant of Miwok people.
Hmm.
And she had a poem up there, but I think the thing is it gets changed out. Okay. So, like, that's what's up there now, but it's, I think the thing was that it's like a substrate now where they can switch out the letters.
Oh,
kinda,
that's
like
cool.
That billboard.
Yeah.
Where is that? In Pittsburgh?
Sure, yeah.
You always see it around. Anyhow, they
definitely
can switch.
In Pittsburgh.
They can switch the text out.
So that'll be specific for writers or poets.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, and then, you know, they just had the lawn area sort of just, there was like,
there was a lot going on out
an
there.
Area you could have beer. It sort of just felt like a big play area to me, but maybe I wasn't.
Yeah. But that's not permanent.
No,
I mean,
no,
that's
that was
that
just
field.
That was just event
had
event
some
festivities
stuff in a field, a bouncy castle that had no door. You had to climb through the weird side slats. I wish it was more for kids and there were pony rides. Where's the ponies, guys?
Anyhow, I realized later that truth was actually the truth. Bouncy gym.
It was just
an inflatable
building,
billboard
that looked
that
like a
said
speech
truth.
Bubble.
Yeah, was not a bouncy gym after all. It was a project by Hank Willis Thomas,
right.
And oh god, the two of us.
Just, and we're talking over
you guys,
each other.
Like, honestly, just don't take anything we say as truth.
Look it up if you need
just
every
make
damn
sure
detail.
If you're gonna tell someone or if you're gonna present this to a class, make sure you fucking fact check the hell.
Why are you presenting it to a class?
I don't know. Just if you're like, oh, I was listening to this podcast and these really smart ladies said nothing that was true.
It was a kind of temporary building that looked like a speech bubble that said truth on it, where you go inside and like speak truths and shit. And then they videotape
they're recording it, so they're probably going to do something with the information. Anyhow, I really like Hank Willis Thomas and his project, so I'm disappointed that I didn't realize it was something I should have gone into, you know what I mean? And then the Museum of Capitalism was in one of the buildings, and I missed their show in Oakland, so I was super happy.
Never went?
No, I was so happy to go to it. I fucking loved it.
Oh, wicked.
I taught Sarah and I, my friend Sarah's who's in town, talked to Francois, one of the guys, for a really long time about how to bring down capitalism, and that was very challenging and interesting. Well, actually, what we talked about more is that they're working on building, the collective that runs that, or that's doing that museum, is working on building a game, a board game about capitalism.
Cool.
Which I thought was really interesting. I actually thought of you a lot and was like, God, they should really talk to Kate, because I feel like
I have done some experimental game making, yes.
And then I didn't make it into the other building at all.
It was good. There was some good stuff going on in the other building. Yeah, open studios for some of the artists that are over there, including Lava Thomas.
Yeah, I saw
her. She had some excellent drawings. Final score.
To me, it really felt, and maybe it's because I wasn't there for the very start of it, where I think there was like a ceremony and like a cutting of the ribbon and some talks and this and that. Were you there for that?
No.
So to me, it really felt like going to a regular open studio. At the Headlands.
Wait, I need to give a split score. Generally, vent score 9.
Great.
How I feel about the Commons.
Yeah.
This that'll be there forever.
Yeah.
6.5.
Why don't you, what is it about, I mean, what's wrong with the Commons? You just felt like it wasn't
being... I think it's fine for what it is now.
Yeah.
But I just worry that they're going to keep going and putting more and more, like, stuff out there and, like, changing the buildings and all this stuff that they're doing.
They can't
I know, I know, but they kind of have, like, this, like, putting that the text on the side of the building, that changes things a lot. And I'm just like... Part of what I think is so kind of magical about the Headlands is that it's just like this old kind of like blank space. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously it carries like a very loaded history with it and stuff like that. But I don't know. I just feel like the more stuff they do and the more changes they make, I'm going to be like a curmudgeonly fuddy-duddy and be like...
But the thing is, I don't think that they will because this is a huge, huge expensive project. And I think they have a lot of limitations because they're part of the national park, like a lot of limitations to what they can actually do to those buildings.
Right.
Anyhow, but so, okay, but that's,
it just
that's like
me.
A feeling.
Going out there and seeing it, all the new stuff kind of got me a little worried.
But I almost feel like it's so much of it is just blended right in. Like I didn't feel like dramatically different
to
me.
Stadium seating kind of thing.
Yeah, but there's like three tiers.
It's and not I like, appreciate having that, utilizing that space because it was just like an empty gravel.
It was just
a parking lot.
Yeah. Like a 10-car parking lot.
I mean, what's there now and what they did, I'm fine with. But if they're going to do any more, they need to check with me.
Okay, so take note, Headlands. Kate Rhodes doesn't want you to do any more. That it's perfect the way it is.
Just calm it down a little bit.
Don't go over the top with it now. We still just love looking at those buildings with the landscape in the background.
And the turkeys.
The turkeys aren't
going to fuck
anywhere.
Things up for the turkeys.
Turkeys are
going to
be hanging out on the stairs.
Did anybody do a study on the impact on the turkeys?
I'm sure there was an environmental impact. I'm absolutely sure of that.
I also went to a talk this week at the Berkeley Art Museum. They are also having a new show opening, Martin Wong, big Martin Wong show. I think it just opened today.
Oh.
Okay, point is, Maysoon, I went to a talk at the Berkeley Art Museum Arlie
Hochschild.
Yes. She's a sociologist, I guarantee it. And she wrote a book called Strangers in Their Own Land that's about, like, Trump supporters and, like, working class people down in, like, Louisiana who supported Trump. And so she had that and kind of presented her book. And then they had UC Berkeley students perform some of the people in her book.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Uh-huh. It was funny. They were undergrads, and it just was a really interesting, odd way to have a talk.
Oh, there were people performing while she was talking?
Well, she gave her talk, and then she sat down, and then they had four students come up and perform these people, and it was so fucking weird.
That's so weird. But kind of great.
Yeah.
Just to have like a really different kind of experience. I don't know. I like that stuff.
So they're having a series, and Shannon Jackson introduced it, that's about reassembly, kind of reimagining like public assembly protests and stuff like that, but also like school assemblies. And she was saying like this is kind of like a reimagining of that.
It's a hybrid.
So it made sense. That context made sense to me with students doing the performing and stuff. I want to give the full schedule, but I lost my little card. They gave me a free tote bag. Special thanks to Sarah Fullerton, who even reserved me a little seat. I
want
to go to all
there?
Of them. She is. She runs all their like communication stuff.
ARC?
Arts Research Center. The director of which is now Julia Bryan Wilson, friend of the show.
Bing, bing.
Because Shani Jaxie is now the like arts
chancellor
or something.
The arts ruler of Berkeley.
Okay, but they have talks like every other Monday night or something. 6:30 for sure. So that's what's going on.
Kate
go to it. There's going to
be
great ones. There's going to be Judith Butler and Isaac Julian together. And like
they must pay really well. How do they get those big names?
Well, Judith Butler used to be a professor there. So Judith Butler's there all the damn time. Next week on Thursday, I'm giving a middle of the day
talk at
SFAI.
I saw that on the Kelly. You working on anything interesting these days?
I'm making the world's biggest cat painting.
That's a pretty big task because I feel like there's probably already huge cat paintings
out there. Nope. The world's biggest cat painting at this moment is 8.5 by 6 feet.
That's all?
I know. That's what I said when I heard.
How tall is your ceiling?
My painting is going to be 7 by 11 feet. My ceiling is about, from the floor to the ceiling is about 12 feet.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have to pull a Jay DeFeo on you.
Yeah.
Like,
have to cut the wall down, open the door, open the whole wall. I'll be sending a newsletter out about that to go and collect some reference images. If you have a cat you would like included in the painting will have 50 cats. Get on my website, katerodes.com. Sign up for my newsletter if you want updates about the world's biggest cat painting.
Is it going to be the world's biggest cat painting via like a million tiny cat paintings?
What? Like a photo mosaic?
Yeah.
No. It's going to be beautifully composed cats, maybe some of them on satin.
Oh, it's not a single cat.
No, it's going to be 50 cats in one big giant painting.
In the shape of the United States?
And I'm doing that. And no, not in the shape of the United States.
Why 50?
But so the old world's biggest cat painting, which was by this Austrian painter who was commissioned by a millionaire woman in San Francisco.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
You got to get her to commission.
She's dead.
Fuck that. She's got a family, maybe.
She's dead. But point is, they found this painting. It had 42 cats. It was 8.5 by 6 feet, I think. It had 42 cats. And it also weighed about 250 pounds. So mine has to have more cats, be larger in area, also larger by weight, and be better in general as a painting.
Have you seen this painting?
Yes. Not in person.
Right. Do you think it's still in San Francisco?
Ooh. I think the people that bought it, because then they found it, or somebody, whoever had it, sold it at Sotheby's, and it sold for about $800,000. So, and this was all big news.
Why?
Everybody
Who was the artist?
Some Austrian guy.
Oh, yeah, you said that already. Sorry.
Carl something.
Mm-hmm.
And point is, Maysoon, it actually is a great painting. It was a big news item when it happened like a year or two ago when it sold. It was like world's biggest cat painting.
I remember hearing that.
Almost $1 million.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, that's not that big of a damn painting. And I was like, maybe I should paint a bigger painting. And I asked Julia Bryan Wilson if it was in fact the world's biggest cat painting. And she said, probably not.
I know. I was going to say, have you checked the Guinness Book of World Records?
There's no record. I submitted. You can pay $5 and to submit a new world record label.
Yeah.
And I submitted. I haven't heard back yet.
Biggest cat
painting.
For
world's biggest cat painting. So we'll hear back from them.
Have you done some extensive Google searches on this topic?
Usually, I mean, like 2 pages of Google when you search for world's biggest cat painting is about that painting.
Right. You have to put like other world's biggest cat paintings in the title.
When I tell people in the Bay Area that I'm doing this, they're all like, oh, well, you need to talk to Neil Ledoux or whatever.
Oh, uh-huh.
Why? Who graduated from CCA a while ago and got the Turnasol Award because he did these great big giant cat pictures. But to my mind, they're not paintings. And they are plastered on the wall. Okay. First, I think they're drawings.
Mm-hmm.
They're plastered on the wall. They're not on canvas.
Right.
Okay. Or like panel. They're directly on the wall. And I'm like, that's a whole nother thing.
You're like, I do not need to talk to him.
And they are very big, but they also only depict a few cats. And I just don't think we're in the same thing.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have him on the show.
I think that'd be funny.
Turnasol winner. Also, Margaret Tedesco told me he's psychic. So he should be emailing us.
Yeah.
He should know we're going to email him and then preempt it. So that's what I'm doing next year.
You know, whatever Margaret says, I kind of believe is a weird thing. I'm like, oh, she must know that for sure.
100%.
How long will it take you to make that?
I'm hoping 3 to 4 months. Another thing I saw while I was in Europe, I went to the National Portrait Gallery in London, and they had a portrait contest show. Okay. It's the BP, British Petroleum.
Oh, yeah.
Portrait contest, which is like their big, it might be the biggest portrait contest in the fucking world. The winner gets £30,000. Which is like $40,000.
Yeah, it's pretty significant.
So apply to that. Do some kind of thing where you're
helping
oil spill victims.
Are you going to apply to it?
I think so, but it's in December is when you have to send in. So I got to bang out like a fucking photorealistic, incredible portrait of something kind of something.
You
with
can do
like
that
fucking
as a thing,
like
That's
a chandelier in the background because you got to like really have that. Like excruciating detail.
What were some of the guidelines, or do they have like
no guidelines?
Painting must be this size, or must be this subject matter.
Nope. I think it just has to be a portrait. The ones that have won it in the past are pretty traditional portraits. The one that won it this year was a lady breastfeeding.
Hmm. Don't do Donald Trump. It's not going to win.
No, don't think so. None of them that I've looked at have been very like politically charged.
Well, lady breastfeeding is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
But not like, none of them have been like fucking like fuck you up shit, you know? Like some like Kerry James Marshall stuff or something. You know what I mean? Like some, they've all been pretty traditional.
Yeah.
So anyhow, that's out there, artists, and it's open to anyone in the world. They did have a lot of celebrity port. Have you been over there to the National Portrait Gallery? Yeah. They've got the Queen and Kate Middleton. And
oh, yeah. Maybe the babies.
Judi Dench.
The Middleton kids.
I think if I try to pander that hard, it's not going to go well. I want to do like an oil-soaked pelican.
Who are they going to want to see?
Just beautiful depictions of...
Just beautiful?
It just has to be really incredibly well-rendered.
Have you seen who the winners in the past have been?
And they're all like...
Oh, I really want to see
that. Probably took you all year to paint that. Get in there, artists, if you want to. Just know that the money's coming directly from like the apocalypse. They're you're getting money from the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And they don't even fuck around about that. It's like the logo's right there on the wall. It's like BP. Happy birthday to Michael
Happy
Hall.
Happy birthday to Michael
Happy
Hall.
Birthday to everybody.
That's right. At some point this year, you probably had a birthday, and we'd like to say happy birthday to you.
And one of our great pine cones, Sean, happy birthday. He's now the same age as me again. Mm-hmm. Well, May soon, I'm glad to be back, and we're very glad to chug forward. We have a new Google Doc, and we're really ready to bang it out.
We haven't had a new Google Doc in a couple of months.
Because a couple people have been like, you know, what happened to the show? Are you still doing it? How dare they?
Are we getting stale,
guys? But we're coming back. We're coming back in Technicolor.
Really bright Technicolor.
Yeah. We're selling out. That's our goal for 2018.
We're going to go get some BP bucks.
We're getting the BP oil-soaked, blood-soaked dollar bills and pounds.
We're going to go big.
But until then, from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been
Congratulations Pine Tree.